Remind me what book we're in. How many revelations are there? Now put your thinking cap on. I've been missing this question. Who's it belong to? Does it belong to John the Baptist? Jesus is right. It belongs to Jesus. Who wrote it? God wrote it. God the Father wrote it. What did He do with it? He gave it to the Son. God the Son. What did He do with it? Gave it to the angel. What did the angel do with it? Yeah, He gave it to us. He gave it to John. Gave it to the church. That's right. How many themes? Two. Give me one of them. Adore His person. We're going to do our best to adore His person this morning from His Word. What's the other theme? Accept His plan. That is His Word. Yeah, I accept it. I'm thankful for the plan. Okay, we'll open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies, and they came from God and not from man. Where are we going to open them to? What chapter? Chapter 11, be right, except we didn't quite get finished with 10. We were on 8 and 9, and there were so many verses about how sweet the little book is. It's what we were talking about. That's why you have a handout. You could read the rest of them when you got home, because we didn't get finished. But verse 10 takes it up again, and it says, we're in chapter Revelation 10:10, and it says, I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. John obeyed is what he did. The angel told him to do that, and John did it. And the Bible is sweet. This little book is sweet in the fact that God's people is going to get vindicated right here on Judgment Day. And sin will be dealt with and the enemy's going to be put down.
Yeah.
It's sweet. It's bitter for unbelievers and unrepenters. Will suffer judgment of God on earth. We're going to read about it in these pages here. And then the Word of God is sweet as we read it each morning and study it, but it's also convicting and reproving. Then verse 11 says, "And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." And that reminds us of our responsibility. Now John, he was doing his. It says, "Thou must prophesy again." And again, that's a picture of the church. But then it's also real personal here. Brother Rick, thou must prophesy. Now in the Old Bible, in the Old Testament, prophesy was foretelling the future, foretelling what was going to happen. But in the New Testament prophecy, prophesying is almost the same as preaching. And we go forth telling the good news.
Right.
Go forth telling. And so here we see our personal responsibility. Isaiah did it. He went forth and told. Barabbas did it. Paul, Saul, and Acts, he did it. And Timothy, he did it. And Brother Rick and the rest of them. See, we're going to pass something on. We'll pass some kind of faith on, whether it's in Chevrolet's or Jesus. I'm going to pass something on.
Right.
I'm going to pass something on. Verse 11. If it's not faith in Christ, I'm going to pass that on too. I hope it's faith in Christ. Revelation 11, verse 1. There was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them." We're going to get measured. And them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out. And measure it not. The way I understand it, it's still for Gentiles to get in yet. 144,000, all of them, you know. And it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, how many years is 42 months? 3.5 is correct. 36 months would be 3 years, and then 6 more, 3.5. Let's look at it in Daniel 7. Daniel 7:25. We know this. We all know this, but this some verses where it came from. Daniel 7:25. You know the tribulation is going to be divided in half. The 7 years is going to be divided in half, and 3.5 is referring to the first half of it. And Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. This might be where we got that phrase. You know, we got a lot of stuff that wears us out. Wear out the saints of the Most High, capital H. And think to change times and the laws, you know, like socialists like to get in Congress and change laws. Communists and socialists are all headed to the same place where the state owns everything. Communists come in one day with a machine gun and use fear to do it. The socialists, they like to pass one law at a time until they get us there. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, that's supposed to be 1 year, and times plural, that's supposed to be 2 years, and the dividing of time, half a time, that's supposed to be 3.5 years. If you follow your commentators. Then chapter 9, verse 27, says, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." It's a week, if you remember, of 7 years, not 7 days this time, a week of 7 years. "And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determines shall be poured upon the desolate." And then in chapter 12, Daniel 12, starting in verse 5, It says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river." And that reminds me, I know I've told you about the two blondes. I'm pretty sure it was ladies, one standing on that side of the river, one on this side. And one of them hollered and said, "Hey, how do I get to the other side of the river?" And she said, "You are on the other side." And verse 6 says, "And one said unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time 1 year, and times 2 years and a half, 3.5 years, when he shall be accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Then verse 11, still in Daniel 12, "And from the time that the daily sacrifices shall be taken away, and the abominations that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, in a minute, we're going to turn back to Revelation, and there it says 1,260 days, 1 month difference, 30 days difference. No contradiction, because verse 11 is talking about, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination shall make desolate," it's going to be one extra month. I can't tell you why, but now turn back to Revelation 11. 2, we just read 42 months, 3.5 years. Revelation 11, 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." And if you take your calculator, your phone right now, and divide that, it comes out to exactly 3.5 years. If you use 30 days of the month like they did in the Old Testament, we use 360 days in a year. We use 365 and a quarter. That's why we have leap year of the day every 4 years in February. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Now, the theme starts here in verse 3 of the two witnesses. And we're going to talk about the two witnesses. Well, let me read it first. Be thinking about the two witnesses, because that's who it's talking about down through these verses. The two witnesses, this is how long they're going to prophesy. It's 3.5 years. "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man shall hurt them," the two witnesses, "fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man shall hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Verse 6, "These," the two witnesses, "have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Now again, most commentators try to identify these two witnesses. I'll just go ahead and tell you, nobody knows. Yeah, right. This is speculation, what I'm going to tell you, but someone might ask you about them one day. I guess that's why I'm going through this. Let's look at some verses about it. Here's who they might be. Some try to identify who they might be. Here's who they might be. Acts 1, 10. Acts 1:10, "And while they stood looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." It might be two men.
Right. Yeah.
That's one choice. Yeah. Might be somebody we never heard of. I just want you to know that up front. Here's another thing, Hebrews 9:27. You can probably quote it. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." Well, in history, in Bible history, there's been two men that never died. So many say that might be who it is. And it might be. I don't know. Nobody else knows either. But anyway, and that's Enoch and Elijah, by the way, never died. They both got raptured. Enoch was walking with God and got farther from his house than it was to God's house. And God said, how about you just go home with me, Enoch? And he did. And then Elijah, you know, a chariot of fire came and got him. He got two raptures, two pictures of raptures. Let's look at that in Malachi. Hey, here's the strongest verse for me, Malachi 4:5. Go to Matthew and just back up one page. Malachi 4:5, Matthew 1, I mean, and back up one page. And to me, this is the strongest verse that this is going to happen. It says, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And then on top of that, Elijah stopped the rain and called fire down from heaven like it said that the two witnesses would there that we just read, verses 3 through 6. And let's glance at that in James 5. James 5, 17 and 18. And Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The two witnesses will have power to do that. And then Elijah also called fire down from heaven. A little bit different. It says the witnesses are going to have fire come out of their mouth. A little bit different. Acts 1, or 2 Kings 1. We see where Elijah did this. 2 Kings 1. And then in verse 8, you see it's Elijah, and the king sends 50 men. In verse 10, Elijah calls, and there came down fire from heaven and consumed him, and he's 50. That's at the end of verse 10. Then at the end of verse 12, he does the same thing. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So Elijah would have the power to do that. I guess anyone, the power really came from God. So I guess if it was the two men, God would be giving them the power. It wasn't Elijah. It wasn't Elijah. And then Moses turned water to blood like the two witnesses did, we just read about, in Exodus 7. So one choice is Moses. It might not be Elijah and Enoch. One of them might be Moses. Exodus 7. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, there, and take thy rod, stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and the vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. He lifted up the rod, smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. So it might be Moses. Could be Moses. Jude 9, they never found his body. He might have got raptured. Whatever happened, the Lord took care of him. Jude 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And then Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 1, 2, and 3. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And then some people say it might be John the Baptist, but they didn't give me verses for it. Like I said, it might be two men. It might be two witnesses. Revelation 11. That's what it says. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or trick anybody, but all that was speculation. Well, not verses 3 through 6, but verse 7. And when they, that's the two witnesses still, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now God calls their life a testimony. And after they died, when they died, He said their testimony is finished. And again, father or not father, I'm going to leave a testimony. When I die, it's over. What it says right here. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Well, where our Lord was crucified is Jerusalem. And if you remember just a few lessons ago, a few weeks ago, we saw where the religious center was in Jerusalem, but God, for the New Testament church, moved it up to Antioch. And the Lord doesn't have a whole lot good to say about organized religion. We're for the Jews. We're for Israel. I am.
Right.
I am.
Yes.
But the Lord sometimes doesn't say a lot good about religion. And here He's calling them Sodom and Egypt. And then finally where our Lord was crucified. Sodom is known for her vice. Or vices.
Yeah.
Egypt is known for her vanity.
Yeah, that's good.
No Vanity Fair in John Bunyan's book. Jerusalem is known for her violence.
Yeah.
But this is what the Lord has to say about them in verse 7 and 8. Then verse 9 and 10. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. Now the world hates these two witnesses so bad, they won't even bury them.
Right.
Verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. It's even worse than that. And make merry, and shall send gifts one to another. This will be the devil's Christmas. Right here. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on earth. Now in verse 7, God calls their lives a testimony, but the world calls them torment.
Yeah.
That's what they say. And they call in all, bring in all the cameras, bring in YouTube, bring in all the social media, and let's see this and let's have a big party. But they jumped the gun. It's all premature.
Yeah.
They got ahead of themselves.
Right.
And all of a sudden they wish there wasn't no cameras there. Because
right.
In verse 11, it says, in 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life came from God. Which, by the way, that's the only place you can get the Spirit of life.
Yeah.
Is from God. Father's Day would be a real good day to get the Spirit of life from God.
Yeah.
Entered into them, and they stood up on their feet in great fear. Fell upon them which saw them. That's everybody that's watching the cameras. Luke 16, 30 and 31. And he said, nay, somebody... He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they don't believe the Bible, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead.
Right.
If they don't believe the record, they won't be persuaded. Verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. Hey, there's another rapture.
Yeah.
And they, the two witnesses, ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. They got to watch it.
Yeah.
The enemies get to watch it.
Yeah.
Now, verse 13 divides. That's the middle of the 7 years. Had 3.5 years in front from verse 6, I think we started. Chapter 4 and 5 is in heaven. Verse 6, I think we came to earth and started the tribulation. Started the 7 years, and here's half of it in verse 13. After this, there's going to be great tribulation.
Yes.
Verse 13. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. That's going to be Jerusalem. One-tenth of it falls in the earthquake. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Verse 14 starts the third woe. If you remember, we've already had two. It says, and the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. In verse 15, we see the seventh trumpet. We already had six trumpets. And this trumpet is announcing the Lord's return. Brother Clark told me this morning, it might happen today. This might be the day. Verse 15, and the seventh angel sound. This is for them. We're back in 4:1. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. He come to take over, if you remember, and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 16, heaven's happy.
Yeah.
Verse 16, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God.
Yeah.
Verse 17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Heaven's happy, their heaven's jubilation, they're rejoicing. They're crowning. They're worshiping. It's wonderful. Heaven never tires of crowning Him, of worshiping Him, of saying, holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
Psalm 29:9. Psalm 29:9. We might have read it last week. We're going to look at the second half today. 29:9 says, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory.
Amen.
And that's what's going on, how great God is. Heard a fellow say this week, what would you take for one of your legs? What would you sell one leg for? How about one eye? How about one arm? What would you sell? Aren't you glad you walked in this morning? Aren't you glad you got two good eyes, two good arms, two good legs? I am. Verse 18, guess what? The world's angry.
Yeah.
Back in Revelation 11, now 18, and the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The world's angry. Judgment has come. They're in a rage. They're cursing and cussing both. Woe and wailing. Woe and wailing. Verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of His testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Look at it right on over in chapter 14, verse 15. Talking about the great tribulation now, the second half. It's a sneak preview. A trailer, if you will, Revelation 14, 15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Verse 17, and another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Verse 19 again, it says, and the temple of God was open. In Revelation, we've seen several things open up already. Look in chapter 4, verse 1.
Yeah.
We'll read it again. How about the whole thing? Let's read the whole thing. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open. Here we see a door's open. A door's open in heaven. Anybody can get in today on Father's Day yet. It's still time. Anybody can get in. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I'll show thee things which must come hereafter. In chapter 6, starting in chapter 6, the seals were opened. Verse 1, and when I saw the Lamb, opened one of the seals. In verse 3, and he opened the second seal. In verse 5, and he opened the third seal. In verse 7, and he opened the fourth seal. In verse 9, he opened the fifth seal. The doors open, seals are being opened. In chapter 9, verse 2, hell's open. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You don't have to be there. You can get in today. The door's open today. Chapter 11, the temple's open. Chapter 19, heaven's open. Verse 11. 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse named Sedosa. And he that sat on him was called Faithful, big ass Faithful, and big T True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And chapter 20, verse 12, the books are open. Chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you, you're a fair God. Thank you, you're great. Thank you love us. Thank you for making a way that even I could get in. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.